from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, no surprises in Russia over the weekend as Vladimir Putin secured another six-year term as president, capturing over 75% of the vote. But this election victory comes for Putin at a time when more and more information is surfacing about their cyber attacks on the United States, including Russian hackers attempting to penetrate the U.S. civilian aviation industry early in 2017 as part of the broad-based assault on the nation's sensitive infrastructure. Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, who serves on the House General Aviation Caucus, will be here with an inside look. Also, Congress must pass a spending bill by Friday or risk shutting down the government once again. There are still some significant divisions over what should and should not be included in the $1.2 trillion bill. Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina will be here with a look at the numbers. And last Thursday, I had Oklahoma Senator Joseph Silk, on the program discussing his bill, Senate Bill 197, the Protection of Freedom of Conscience Act, which we were told was killed by GOP leadership because Silk and others would not vote for a tax hike. As you will also recall, I was very critical of the GOP leadership for holding religious liberty hostage to higher taxes. I issued an invitation to Senate Floor Leader Greg Treat to come on Washington Watch, and he'll be here later to explain how he is championing religious liberty in the Oklahoma legislature. You won't want to miss that interview later here on Washington Watch. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything on your way home, well, you need to check it out later. It's all archived there, TonyPerkins.com. A lot of information coming your way this afternoon. Remember, this is not for spectators. You are a participant in the Republic. We must save the Republic. All right. By the way, pastors coming up May the 23rd through the 25th, you can be a part of our Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing here in Washington, D.C. To find out more, check it out at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, by the way, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. All right. We're learning Russian hackers penetrated the U.S. civilian aviation system in the early part of 2017 as a part of a broad assault on the nation's sensitive infrastructure. Now, Aviation Information Sharing and Analysis Center reports the assault was aimed at the electric grid, water processing plants, and other targets. With us now is Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of the Sooner State. He serves on the House Services, the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, and also on the House Armed Services Committee and the House General Aviation Caucus. Congressman Russell, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you.
Almost promoted there for a minute to the Senate, but I know you work hard, so you're in the House. let's start with this. I mean, this information is very troubling, that Russian hackers were going after the U.S. aviation system. This is pretty significant.
Well, it's not only significant in that one, Russians would not be trying to target military targets, but that they would be targeting innocent life that could affect, you know, millions of people and all kinds of things. It just shows you the difference in morality and certainly values that we hold. But the disturbing thing is, you know, there comes a point where the United States is going to have to get serious about what constitutes an act of war. You know, when we see these cyber attacks, when we see people going after electrical grids, infrastructure, things of this nature, and they actually were to do something to try to shut it down, this isn't some people always talk about victimless crime with credit card fraud or this type of nonsense. No, there's still a criminal aspect to it, and there are victims to it. And it once again shows that the greatest threat that we face in the world today, in my view, is Russia. That they are innovators. They are certainly, nefarious and like a thief that goes around checking for unlocked doors, and they find one and they'll wreck the place. You know, here we see them checking for unlocked doors. So we have to get very, very serious about this issue, and we got to call it out when we find it.
Well, again, the information coming out last week that they had breached more than a dozen power plants in seven states. this information now coming out public. Of course, a lot of these targets had been hardened and preemptive defenses had been put in place, so there was no extensive damage done. But this shows that, really, as you say, the nature of the aggressor here. These are civilian targets. I mean, what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, again, it goes back, I think Russia really has three motivations. They want respect. They would like to have it, as positive outcome if possible, but they'll take negative respect as well. And I think them getting around and meddling and shoving and doing nefarious things is a way that they can get negative respect. They also want security. Putin has consolidated his power through the use of oligarchs and other things where he now owns and controls the political process within Russia. Gone are the days of the early 90s where it looked like free and fair self-determination might actually arrive in Russia. But the reality is we see that that's not the case. And so they want domestic security, and then they also want external security with what they call the near abroad, flipping back former Warsaw Pact countries former Soviet states that have self-determination, have been occupied by the Russians for a long time. They want to live as free countries, and Putin wants to turn all of those back. And then the third thing they want are good economics, and they want to do that through the use of their resources. But then they'll use those resources to strangle people, like with Gazprom and the other things. So we know what the Russians are up to. I mean, the good news is that they're very consistent. But we need to be very much on guard. And this is just another example of we cannot be asleep at the wheel or somehow think we have a reset button or somehow, the only thing that's been reset is the Cold War, sadly, because of the attitudes that have been exhibited by Russia, and we've had very little pushback on them.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, talking about information coming out last week that Russian hackers tried to breach our U.S. Civilian aviation system as well as power plants. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joseph Dunford, Marine General, has repeatedly said, both in testimony before Congress, and most recently, he was over in NATO countries in Europe speaking about this, that Russia is the greatest threat that the United States and NATO is currently facing. Is this just more evidence that that, in fact, is true?
Well, I think it is. It's up to the chairman to, not only be able to coordinate and certainly have our armed forces to defend our republic, but they also have to evaluate threats around the world. Of course, we think of North Korea, and we think of terrorism, and we think of a lot of different things. And, I mentioned China in that group, although I think that there's a lot more, in common that we have with China. We might have some competition, and we might have some things that we're irritated with each other over. But the greatest threat is, I think Chairman Dunford has it correct. It is Russia. And you say, well, why is that? Look at these things. They have a cyber capacity and capability on par, if not better, than our own. They will absolutely do these bold and surprise moves if they see weakness, which we've seen. And now they're trying to drive a wedge into NATO and try to disrupt that to the extent any way that they can. And if they were to be successful there, Tony, ponder this. For 72 years more, we have had peace in Europe. That's not happened since Roman times. And so if that were to be disrupted and the NATO construct of nations were to somehow break apart and then it's everybody for themselves again, this is precisely the type of thing that Russia would take advantage of, and they would subjugate and put independent countries and peoples back under their thumb. We do care, and we are watching, and we will be vigilant, and we will stand up to them. They only want to dominate, not have people have better economies and self-determination and good trade and good business, which is like what the United States desires.
But, Congressman, I think a lot of people have just kind of dismissed Russia as a threat. And I think that's why I think Putin's upset that people don't see him as a threat. And I think that's why he's made some of these announcements recently about ballistic missiles that can evade NATO defenses. But I think the focus has been on North Korea. It's been on Iran. But I think all the stuff that's been happening, the attempt to meddle in U.S. elections, going after these targets such as the power plants, the power grid, aviation, this would suggest to me that America needs to start paying attention to Russia.
Well, they absolutely do. And then, you know, there's a lot of things. We need to look at our lines of communication in the Atlantic Ocean. We need to look at, you know, the ability to have icebreakers, you know, up in the Arctic, things that we just kind of don't even think about. Russia out there reestablishing old bases. You can go out and see all this on open sources. And they are fielding with a limited defense budget, some pretty capable systems, and they are asserting themselves in the Mediterranean. They are asserting themselves, you know, obviously in the Middle East, in North Africa, and they are asserting themselves in a lot of different places. And usually, the people they're backing are not nice guys. You know, yeah, we're going to back Assad. Oh, there's a nice guy, right? These are folks that are only going to create greater tension among Western allies and a lot of different things. And Mr. Putin, like I had said before about Russian interest, we know what he wants. And respect, to your point, he wants respect. But he would prefer it to be positive respect for good things, but he'll take negative in a heartbeat. And right now he's been reduced to a lot of negative.
So, Congressman Russell, are you confident that the Trump administration is ready to go toe-to-toe with Vladimir Putin?
Absolutely. He cannot sustain himself for anything long term. And, you know, the thing that that you have to recognize when you're dealing with the United States or its allies is that if you just took our Western allies and the English-speaking countries, you know, they constitute 6 of the 7 G8. They constitute 17 of the 20 G20. Collectively, the economic might and the military capacity, you know, once we get re-energized and we get these countries, which the president has called them out on 2% for NATO and doing different things, collectively, there's no way Russia can withstand that. But we have to keep together. We have to stay together as a team. We have to, you know, cooperate and work policies together. That's what's created these economic miracles, you know, in Europe and a lot of different advancement and development is because they haven't had to focus on war. You know, they've had 70-plus years of peace. That's a good thing. And people talk about, well, you know, the defense dollars and all of that cost. War is a heck of a lot cheaper. I'll take peace any day.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
War, I mean, you know, peace is a heck of a lot cheaper, and I'll take that any day than war. You know, we often lose sight of that in the preparedness. But right now, NATO and our alliances have worked, and we just have to hold together.
Right. Peace through strength. Congressman Steve Russell, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right. Folks, we're going to continue to keep a close eye on Russia. I do think, as I've been watching over the last couple of years, more and more, they are a much more significant threat than what we've given them credit to. And I think people thought the Cold War was over and we didn't have to worry about Russia anymore. Vladimir Putin is one to watch. All right, coming up next, Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina is here to talk budget. Don't go away. We're back after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, where are your tax dollars going? Well, that's what Congress is about to decide. Congress is unveiling a $1.2 trillion government funding package that would provide the biggest increase to federal spending in years. Some conservatives are concerned about the price tag of this omnibus spending bill. The House could vote on it as early as this Wednesday, leaving the Senate just a few days to vote on the bill before another looming government shutdown would come on Friday at midnight. Joining us now is Congressman Ted Budd. He represents the 13th Congressional District of North Carolina. He serves on the Financial Services Committee and is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be here, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by because I know in probably about 15 minutes you got to rush off to a meeting of the Republicans in the House to discuss this bill this evening. What are you anticipating?
Well, yeah, this is, you know, $1.2 trillion. That's $1,200 billion. You know, and we set that weeks ago with the Bipartisan Budget Act, and that's, you know, that's an egregious amount. It kept our government open, and now we're, you know, now this dollar's really going to get spent. But this is, you know, we think this thing's going to pass. We don't think the government's going to shut down. But one of the things that I've been focusing on since last September, Tony, is something called the Gateway Project. And just for your listeners to know, this is a series of bridges and tunnels between Newark, New Jersey, and Manhattan that originally had a price tag of $13 billion, and it went up with no change in scope to $30 billion. And there was essentially an earmark, a $900 million earmark, which, remember, we got rid of our earmarks in 2011. And so I have been trying to get this project, this pet project, defunded, and we got a good shot at being successful. We're looking through the language now. And, you know, Trump has come out opposed to this. But we're very hopeful we can get this egregious spending that's essentially an earmark stricken from this omnibus.
Now, Congressman Budd, it's still, this information is still new, so everybody's kind of combing through it to see what's in it. You know, it's not easy to spend $1.2 trillion, unless you're Congress, of course, then it's pretty easy. But just kind of looking to where the money is going, it actually appears that this even exceeds the Budget Control Act in the amount of money that it's spending, if I'm not mistaken. So we're actually spending more money than what Congress said they were going to spend last time they talked about spending.
You know, they did, and they call it breaking the caps, because that's what the Budget Control Act did. It put caps on levels of spending, and we had to grow the military spending, but unfortunately, to get the left side to pass this, they want to grow the social spending. And look, we're all for funding the military, but we don't want to have to bring this, you know, social spending along with it, and that's unfortunately what happened in order to get this bill passed. I was opposed to that, but I'm glad we're funding our troops. We're giving them the pay raise that they needed. We're giving them the equipment they needed. And we have to take care of our men and women in uniform. But we do not need to grow social spending. That's been so devastating in, you know, here in America.
Oh, without question. And, in fact, we're seeing on the domestic side with the tax cuts, we're seeing greater economic activity, which ultimately will lead, as many have advocated, higher revenues coming into government because we have more economic growth. We were just talking with Congressman Russell about the threat of Russia. And, of course, we have a military that's down, you know, prior to World War II strengths in terms of the Army, Air Force, even worse than that, you know, since its creation during World War II. But the issue here is the appropriate expenditure of money in terms of priorities. I understand, and I haven't heard from all, but I've talked to some members of the Freedom Caucus. They're concerned about the high level of spending in this bill and are not yet decided as to whether or not they're going to support it.
This is all a moment-by-moment decision-making, because we're just now getting the text of, I don't know, hundreds or perhaps 1,000 pages that this thing is going to be, and to find out what's in it and can we live with it or not. Look, we want to keep our government operational. We want to keep our military strong. But there's so many pet projects in it. For instance, this gateway between Newark and Manhattan that we're trying to shut down. That's just one piece of the puzzle. That's just under $1 billion towards a $30 billion project. Look, it's all about funding our military. You know, it's about keeping our, you know, making our borders strong. There are so many things that we need to do, and this domestic spending is often in the wrong direction. So we're finding out the details, you know, in this live fire exercise right now. We're going to make the right decision. I've got a couple of parameters in here, particularly with this gateway thing, whether I can support it or not. But eventually, this runaway spending has got to stop.
Well, let's talk. You mentioned the border security. Is there funding in here for the wall with on the southern border?
Well, there was the Democrats rejected this past weekend during negotiations. There was supposedly going to be $25 billion in wall funding in exchange for a 2-year extension of this DACA program. But now we think it's going to be all the way down, you know, less than a tenth of that, down to about $1.6 billion in border security funding. You know, that'll help staff up border and immigration agencies, and that'll fund more detention beds. But as far as solving the problem with the wall, it's not in there. We don't see that in the funding. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, like someone said, trying to negotiate with Charles Schumer is like beating your head against the wall, but not the border wall.
No pun intended on the wall.
Yeah, not the border wall. Congressman Ted Budd, thanks for stopping by.
Glad to be here, Tony. Thanks.
All right, Congressman Ted Budd of North Carolina. $1.2 trillion. Man, that's a lot of money. We're going to be watching this. We're going to be covering this as, you know, and the timing. I mean, they just got a couple of days to get this through or, you know, quote unquote, government shutdown. No one wants to shut down the government. Obviously, shutdown Schumer doesn't want to repeat that again. Didn't work out so well for him last time. But fiscal responsibility, it's critical. It's critical. We've got to return to fiscal sanity. $22 trillion in debt is enough. All right, coming up next, the floor leader of the Oklahoma Senate, Greg Treat, will be here to talk about his efforts to defend religious freedom in the Sooner State. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, since the court's redefinition of marriage, institutions and individuals ranging from adoption agencies to universities have found themselves the subject of government discrimination because of their religious beliefs. Oklahoma State Senator Greg Treat, the Republican floor leader in the Senate in Oklahoma, has introduced and passed out of the Senate, Senate Bill 1140, that would protect adoption agencies based upon their religious beliefs. Senator Treat joins us now. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Absolutely. I appreciate your desire to champion religious freedom. And so I just want to ask you about the kind of the reason for the introduction of the Child Welfare Protection Act.
Yeah, thank you. Ever since I got into the legislature, Oklahoma's had anywhere between 10,000 and 11,000 kids in state custody, either awaiting adoption or needing a temporary foster home. And the biggest partners and the biggest transformation, the biggest bright spot in Oklahoma are our churches that are getting unified on trying to get these homes and do our mission that we're called to do. And there are lawsuits around the country, Michigan and Texas most recently, that activists have tried to attack that ability for churches and nonprofits who have a faith statement from participating with the state. And I wanted to make sure we protected and undergirded their ability to continue to work with our most vulnerable.
And the basis for this attack is on the religious beliefs of these institutions when it comes to the issue of marriage and human sexuality, correct?
That is correct, yes. That's the biggest threat to being able to continue to work with our churches and faith-based nonprofits. It's kind of what we were dealing with the Trinity Lutheran Church case with FEMA dollars trying to flow through them on the federal side, but they're attacking it in all – I don't know about all 50 states right now, but state by state, they're going in and attacking. There was no lawsuit pending in Oklahoma, but we know that those are forthcoming.
Now, is this something that the governor could deal with? Like in South Carolina recently, the governor did it by executive order. Does the governor have the latitude to do that?
You know, in Oklahoma, we have a long history of Democrats actually being the governor of the state of Oklahoma since 1907. Governor Fallon's only our fourth Republican governor.
And I don't want to put it to chance that somebody who may be supportive of our position would sign an executive order and whoever got into that office would switch the day they took office.
Yeah. No, good point. I agree with you 100%. I cannot disagree with that. In fact, I mean, fully support what you're trying to do in terms of prohibiting discrimination against these religious entities, organizations based upon their religious beliefs.
We have some great partners in it, too. Tim Schultz, formerly of the Ethics and Public Policy, now with the First Amendment, came and helped me on that. Catholic Charities, the Assembly of God, General Convention here in Oklahoma, and the Baptist General Convention, all were very instrumental in getting that through the Senate.
Good. Well, and I guess the reason we're having this conversation today is because last week we were talking about Senate Bill 197.
Yes, sir.
Which would have provided these same protections to other entities and organizations, not just adoption agencies, based upon their religious beliefs, and prohibiting, as you do here, government discrimination. So I think, as I understand reading these bills, your initiative here and adoption agencies would have been covered by Senate Bill 197 or 1197, I should say. So what happened with that bill?
But you were actually right the first time. It was 197, and 197 did not have the votes to advance. It was not heard on the floor on Thursday, which was the deadline week for bills to come out of the House of Origination. And the author of the bill, Senator Silk, brought to me a whip card that had 17 yes votes, which was well shy of the 25 necessary to advance it. And had we heard it on the floor, it would have been dead for the 56th legislature. So if we can find another vehicle to amend, I'm speaking in legislative parlance, but I know you understand that from Louisiana, I guess. But we're looking for another legislative vehicle to see if we can advance the same concept and not kill the issue for this year.
So do you support his bill?
Yes, I've supported everything. Okay. I'm the co-chair in Oklahoma of the Religious Freedom Caucus. Tim Schultz came to me back in 2012, and I've been very supportive of everything dealing with religious freedom. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've got until when your session ends the end of May, right?
Yes, sir. The Constitution says by the last Friday in May we must be done, although we've been in a ongoing session for 14, 15 months now with special session and regular session, but regular session will end the last Friday in May.
So you still have time to find another instrument in which this language could be advanced and all religious freedom of individuals could be protected, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, the time has not run out on us. Just the time has run out on 197, but there can be another vehicle identified in advance.
Well, Senator Treat, I thank you for coming on and joining us today. And again, I commend you for your desire to protect religious freedom, which I think is our most fundamental and important freedom. Everything else hinges on that freedom.
There's a reason it's the First Amendment.
You are right. Senator Treat, again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch and your phone calls after this.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life.
Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served 5 United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me remind you, pastors, Watchman on the Wall, pastors briefing. It's for pastors only, coming up May the 23rd through the 25th here in Washington, D.C. And great opportunity for you to come and meet many of, we'll have a number of the legislators from congressmen, senators from different states. That will be here to speak, but it's not. You'll just see a few of them. We'll have prominent pastors from across the country, other religious leaders that will be here talking about a number of issues that are important to the ministry and helping you know what to do and how to do it in the day in which we live. You'll find it inspiring and encouraging. Anyway, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Love to have you be a part of that, but hurry, because we're limited seating. First come, first serve. Okay, let's just see what we're going to talk about today. We've talked about Russia. We've talked about the $1.2 trillion spending bill that Congress is dealing with, and of course we've been talking about Oklahoma, and we've got a lot of listeners in the Sooner State. And of course there's also, you know, tomorrow's the first day of spring. Did you know that? And actually, it's supposed to snow here in Washington. All right. First day of spring. You know, I could ask you what you've been doing with your extra hour of daylight in the evening, but that would be lame. So let's talk about Russia. Let's talk about budgets. Let's talk about religious freedom in Oklahoma. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. The number to call to get on the conversation this afternoon. I kind of like that extra hour when I'm home in Louisiana, because I can go out and this past week, I guess it was Friday night or evening. Maybe it was Thursday evening. I can't remember which. But I was able to work in my chicken coop. And I was explaining to someone that they had called me. In fact, I think it was Dr. Everett Piper. I was told, he called me, and he couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear him because I had an accident in the chicken coop. I had stuck my iPhone in my pocket when I was retrieving eggs, and one of the eggs broke on my iPhone. And I'm not joking. Anyway, my iPhone's not working. It is not egg-proof. I have found that out, so they can add that to their advertising. It is not egg-proof. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Yes, I have chickens. My daughter has goats. We're going to live in the country and like the farm life. Got a tractor. You know, when I'm not in the suit, I'm in the bibbed overalls, believe it or not. 866-372-7234 to get in on the conversation. We're not going to talk about chickens or goats, but we'll talk about Russia. Let's go to Texas where Hunter is on the line. Hunter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Wow, Tony, it's an honor to talk with you. I discovered your show about 6 or 7 months ago here in East Texas and enjoyed the heck out of it. I just want to comment about Russia. There was somebody on one of the weekend talk shows. I mean, there's so many talking heads, I can't even keep up with their names anymore. But suffice to say, they made the comment that said that if Donald Trump were to direct, the Justice Department to end the Mueller investigation, because really it is a nothing burger, if I can use a Van Jones term. But, you know, if he were to do that, that it would end his presidency. I think it was maybe Senator Lindsey Graham that may have said that, or somebody else may have said it.
I think it was Lindsey said it this weekend.
Re-election.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Lindsey said it this weekend. But there was a poll that I think it was actually running on Drudge that actually shows that, you know, three quarters of the people support him removing the special counsel.
I think if he makes the case to the American people, what we found out about this president, you know, whether you like him or whether you don't like him, is that whatever people say is going to happen or whatever they predict, the exact opposite happens. So if the president comes out and just says, "Look, I'm going to make the case."
Hunter, we're losing you there, Hunter. But I we get your point, and thank you for listening and for calling in on Washington Watch. You know, one thing I would say, Hunter, about President Trump, which I have watched with interest and grown in my appreciation for, is his political instinct. There were times when I thought, and I think I've shared this story before, so it's nothing new, but I was speaking in Iowa. Actually, I was on the stage. He was speaking. I was speaking right after him. This has been, this would be two summers ago, this coming summer. So it was at a big gathering of evangelicals, about 2,500 evangelicals, and he was speaking. In fact, he was being interviewed by Frank Luntz. And I remember this is where he made the comment about John McCain being a loser because he got captured and he didn't like losers. And I mean, I was like stunned that he said that, and I turned to the guy next to me and I said, "He's finished. He's toast." That was on a Saturday. On Monday, he went up in the polls. And I just began to watch how he would say things that were completely out of step, if you will, with, you know, appropriate political comment. I'm not saying political correctness, okay? I'm not politically correct, but I mean, I have limits. And he would say these things, and everybody cringes, but people are drawn to that. And so I don't know. I mean, I think the president has some pretty good political instincts, and I think it translates. I think people are getting tired of this Russia investigation that's leading to nowhere in terms of proving or trying to prove that the president and his campaign was involved with Russia. I mean, we've seen that. The Intelligence Committee says there's no evidence to show that there was any collusion between them. Russia did try to meddle in the investigation or in the elections, But there's nothing to suggest that there was collusion with the Trump administration or the Trump campaign. All right, let's keep going here. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for all you do, and I just wanted to comment on this deficit. We've got to get some fiscally conservative people in both the Senate and the House. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. We're just, like I said, we're spending our children, our grandchildren's money, and the sad reality is the difference between the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment is not that great. I mean, they both want to do is overspend. So we've got to get some Marsha Blackburns and some fiscally conservative people in there before it's too late. That's all I'd like to encourage.
Yeah, no, good point, Joe. And here, yeah, and Joe, while you bring that up, let me say this, folks. This is the time to weigh in on this. All Joe's points are valid, but to encourage these guys to take the right stand, they need to hear from you. And I'm just going to give you the Capitol switchboard number and call them and tell them what you think about it. It's 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. You should have that memorized by now. But they represent you. That's the way our republic works. These are our elected representatives, and, you know, they need to hear from you. We elect them based upon their positions, their ideology, and so we hope they'll do the right thing based upon all of those characteristics that we look for in a leader. But it's always helpful to encourage them to do the right thing. All right, we're going to stay on the omnibus bill, and we're going to go to Iris in Mississippi. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I really appreciate your show and all you do. I am just thinking we really need to come out against this bill because it funds Planned Parenthood more, and it doesn't do anything about the immigration problems. It's not adequate funding for the wall, and it doesn't end chain migration or the lottery.
Yes, and that has been Well, I'm going to take one of those issues, Iris. I'm going to take the issue of funding of Planned Parenthood. That's a can that keeps getting kicked down the road that we're told, well, we're going to do that in the appropriations bill. And I understand all of the rationale, the rationalization that takes place when the leadership takes this on. And I know that Paul Ryan would never want to, if he could wave a wand, would never fund Planned Parenthood, the $400+ billion that they get in federal tax dollars. That's not that doesn't include the state and local, which bumps it up over $500 million. But the reality is where they're at right now. They've got to get the 60 votes in the Senate in order to pass this. And this is what they're going to say, that we can't do it right now. You know, at some point, to everything that's been raised here, at some point the Republicans are going to have to draw a line and say, you know what, we're just going to fight over these things. And if the Democrats want to shut down the government, let them shut down the government. But we're not going to budge on this. We believe it's time for fiscal sanity. It's time to end taxpayer dollars going to an organization that's under criminal investigation. And we're just not going to do it anymore. I mean, when will it happen? I don't know. Iris, thank you so much for listening and for calling. Let's go to Paul in Virginia. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, Tony, I want to thank you for everything you do, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, sir.
I hope you could shed some light on this for me. I'm a federal employee, and to keep my security clearance, I have to take a polygraph every 3 to 5 years to determine whether or not I'm telling secrets to enemies, whether I'm conducting sabotage, anything to that effect. And I also have to take random drug tests. That I open up my finances every year to be reviewed down to the penny of what I have. And I just wonder why the same set of rules aren't there for the politicians all the way up to the president. On the total, and I just want to know if you can shed some light on that for me.
Paul, thank you for listening and for calling. And obviously, let me just say thank you for your service. You sent one of those committed, dedicated public servants holding a security clearance. You obviously do a job of significance. And you were breaking up, so but I got the gist, and I'm going to repeat it. And I'm probably not going to have time to fully answer it today, but I will. His point was, you know, he has to undergo a polygraph to maintain a security clearance. They look at his finances to make sure that he's not somehow getting money for selling secrets or passing information on to people. This was a point that was made with Hillary Clinton. The fact that she, what she did, people have gone to jail for, all right? And why is there a double standard? You know what? I don't have time to get in. I'm going to answer. We're going to talk with that. I'm actually going to do a whole segment on that because I think it's a very good point. So we're going to, Joe, I'm going to deal with that. Coming, or Paul, rather. I want to go to Joe very quickly. Joe is in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and I want to talk to Joe. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just had a quick comment on Senator Treat's comment about his bill regarding religious liberty and adoption that was passed, brought to the floor and passed in regards to Senator Silk. I find it odd that they were willing to bring that one to the floor and pass it, which was a very specific one concerning religious liberty, but they did not bring Senator Silk's bill to the floor, which would cover a wider range of items there for freedom of conscience and religious liberty. He did say that Senator Silk's bill didn't have enough votes. I'm not totally convinced that that's correct. But
well, I spoke.
Why would they not bring that bill, that one?
Well, very good point, Joe. You bring up very good points. Let me just say this: I did speak to the bill's authors. I spoke to Senator Silk. The number of votes he told me he had 19 yes votes in favor. 4 undecided, leaning yes, which puts you at 23, which is it's 2 votes away from the 25. Included in those were not Senator Treat, who now has said that he supports the bill. So, I mean, that puts you at 24 right there. And I'm certain with the leader being involved in it and supportive of it, he would be able to bring another vote at least to it. So you heard him here say, he hopes to find another instrument that they can amend to include the broader protections on. So Joe, the folks there in Oklahoma got their work to do to come in behind Senator Treat and have him move forward with his pledge today.
That's exactly right.
All right, Joe, thanks for listening. Appreciate you calling. Folks, we're out of time for today, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I encourage you to tune in again till tomorrow, as we have more Washington Watch. But until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you, yes, you, have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.